back just a little bit. We were talking about Atsu Dushaso in the Rambam, and it's part of a part of an analysis of Matsu Grushaso, but it's also part of a bigger discussion about the nature of exclusions from Yibum, what about Kalitza, and so on. And more particularly, we're trying to track down a little bit the question of what triggers Eishes Ach, as well as, you know, that's one side of the equation, as well as, you know, whether or not there is a phenomenon of Iser Yibum, that is Daraisa, in which there is still im Amar B'Yibim, that would constitute some sort of a Kinyan, or some sort of a Yibum anyway. And if so, whether there are Madregos in that. So just to be clear, again, typically, you know, we would think that these things would be, you know, open and shut. In other words, either there's a Zika or there's no Zika. You know, if there's a prohibition against Yibum, so then it would be obvious that of our, you know, V'Yibim, that it would be Lo Kana. That would be the default expectation if, you know, things were pretty, unambiguous, if it was, you know, either there is or there isn't. And even then, there would be a question, what triggers Eishes Ach? You know, and that might be an Eishes Ach issue, parallel to our discussion of Tzara, of course, the question of Islandness and things of that sort. All things being equal, once we start considering the possibility that, you know, Eishes Ach is sometimes triggered and sometimes not, or that there can be situations where there's a Doraisa exclusion of Yibum and yet im Avar v'Yibim that will be Kana. So by definition, we are, once you consider that there might be distinctions from within, and especially the second category, once we consider it at all, so then we are basically basically asserting that it's not true that, you know, either there's Yibum or there's not. Of course, you know, the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza is part of the question, either there's Zika or there's not. That's something we also have been trying to add to, you know, and to pin down a little more. It's not unrelated to these questions. But even if we understand broadly that, you know, that Doraisa, there can be distinctions between Yibum and Chalitza, distinctions within Yibum, within the prohibition of Yibum itself, that, you know, allow for these shades, that is something which is more subtle. So we've encountered it in a few issues. We had it, you know, with the Marie Galant, even in Sota Vadai. The Mishnah Melech, you know, rejected it. There the Chiddush is squarely, you know, in the Marie Galant, you know, camp, to assume that you could have, you know, a situation where you're talking about Tumah Ke'erva, you're talking about an exclusion of Tzara, assuming you're not limiting to the Ravid and the Ra'ah, which he's not, you know, but saying what he's saying within the more, you know, mainstream perspective, which is that there is no Yibum and there's no Chalitza, and still to consider the possibility that Avar B'Yibim, that would be Kana on any level, that is indeed, you know, surprising. And you don't have to go to the other, you know, degree, which is to assume that there's a Shasach, which is what the Mishnah Melech does. Again, that these are two parallel, you know, but opposite sides of this coin. But that is, you know, surprising indeed, because, you know, all the signs are no Chalitza, Tzara, no Zika, so how are you going to say? On the other hand, we understand why he said it. The reason that he said it was because it's a situation where there's no absence of Tfisas Kiddushin, and therefore it remains, you know, on an obstacle level, you know, Chai V'Lavin, just Chai V'Lavin with the formalism of Tumah Ke'erva. And even in the Tumah Ke'erva, as we know, there's a range of that, everything that we've been discussing, right, including that Lashon of the Rajba on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, you know, about not just like the Ramban, maybe no Isur Erva, maybe no Shem Erva, but, you know, there is Yibum, it's just, you know, you can't implement it. So, of course, the more in a way, that Rashba is also very helpful, as you know, are the other Lashonos, in kind of, articulating, like, how would we explain these in-between, circumstances? So the idea that there can be, Zika but no Yibum, or maybe even a Zika for this but not a Zika for that, those are, possibilities. And then, impediments for Yibum that are completely technical and artificial, like, really, there's a chi of Yibum, but just that you can't implement it. Things like, not necessarily related to this, but, something like, Osir Mishum Davar Acher of the Rajba in Eish Hashish, right? A Tanai B'Alma, but the way that he formulates it, meaning, you're chayiv to do it, just you can't do it, But it's that case is very particular. We understand why that is. In other cases where it's not the catch 22 or there's a difference, between your candidacy a second before and then your implementation, but it's more of a question, your candidacy itself, is the problem. It's a little bit, ambiguous. There's a reason to think that you should have Yibum, a Chi of Yibum, or a Kiyum Yibum, or at least a Zika Li Yibum, but at the same time, there's also like a competing impediment. So to say in those situations that, that there, is and isn't, and even how would you say the is and the isn't? Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but are you going to say there's a chi of Yibum, but you can't implement the Yibum, but it's us, there's a chi of an Isur at the same time? Are you going to say, there's a Zika, but there's no chi of? Are you going to say there's a Kiyum Yibum, but no chi of Yibum, or an Isur Yibum? Exactly how you would say it, and maybe it matters in the different cases. But, so this idea, this notion, and the idea that it would depend on the, nature of the exclusion, becomes something to, consider very seriously. And then we have a whole bunch of, cases. So again, we had the Marie Galant in one extreme and the Sota case, even though we can understand it, but it's still very Mechudash. We had the Karen Ora discussion in Sota about... the list array of Rashi and his take on it. Yeah, there it's going to work because, it's only a, Svarav Yalma. It's not really a more serious, Hafka, implying that other Safek Sota, problems, would be, would preclude this kind of imbitude. We'll see, hopefully, Karen Ora on this question of Machzor Gushoso, where he's also very expansive about it. Other cases are going to stand somewhere like in between. So what are we going to say about Machzor Gushoso? That's kind of where we were discussing the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Shmuel, and I want to revisit that because again, some of you had raised some good questions. I was trying to read it one way, but right, at least we should be clear on what the difficulties are, what the challenges are, and what the options are as well. I should have told you to look at the Taz. At the time, I didn't take it as seriously as I should have, but I was re-looking at it the other day and realized there's just a lot in the pushback. So I want to try to do that right now. So just as, to take a step back, again, the makor of all this, as we've discussed, is that critical Gemara and Kaf Amud Aleph in terms of background. And then, you have to investigate. Nida is also, I should add, part of that story. As we already saw, Nida and the, a letter of the Griz, the last letter, in the Sefer. Is it a case where there's an Iser Liyabim, Midoraisa, but an Avar Liyibim Tana? Again, Nida is unique. On the one hand, it's worse because it's a Kares, and, that should make it, it's an erva that also makes it worse, but at the same time, there is tisas kedushin. I guess there could be some sort of a comparison, between the Marie Galant's, sota vadai, in one respect, and nida, except that, nida really is chai v'krisis and a shem erva, and sota vadai, is more of a, a legal erva, on the one side, and it isn't Kaivei Krisis. On the other side, Nida, and this is what Rebelba was saying, you know, Nida could be, you know, the easiest case to explain because it isn't a pgam in Ishus in any way. It's an Iser Maisa Bia. It has nothing to do with any kind of, you know, toxic status that is incompatible with Yibum and so on. So even though the Iser is greater and the shame looks more foreboding, you know, obviously, you know, Sota, you know, is a kilkul in the Ishus, you know, and that's why it's such a compelling. But, you know, this there we know that there's a straight machlokas harishonim, you know, whether or not, you know, im avar uba'al kana, even though there's certainly an Iser, you know, yibum. But, okay, so that is a machlokas, and that Rebelba was saying, oh, why is that, you know, better, according to the Rishonim hold, that it is b'dievet effective. Like, why is that better than, you know, than aseh v'lav? And that was his answer, that it's better, meaning aseh v'lav is worse, because that's a problem in Iser and Ishus. Nida, you know, looks more formidable and problematic, but at, you know, second glance, you know, it's less of a problem. What does that mean for other aseh v'lavs? That's something that I keep hinting at, you know, along the way. So we have a bunch of cases, and these are the, I think it ends up being an interesting issue about the levels of exclusion of Yibum and the impact that that has on Shem Yibum, Chalos Yibum, or Zika, and there ends up being a hierarchy. So just to make it clear before we go back to the Lashonos of the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah and the Beis Shmuel, and so on, just to make it clearer about the evidence. So, let's start again. You know, these are things that we've seen, so I'm just going to speak about them for a few minutes, but hopefully quickly. So let's start again for a minute on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph with, you know, the reminder, you know, that the Gemara had a very remarkable Havamina, right? The Gemara had a Havamina that Almana, you know, Arusa Lekohen Gadol, right, would also be excluded from Yibum Minat Torah. That was the Gemara's Havamina. And on that, the Gemara said, you know, how could that be? Bishlomer Menasu Nase Velo Sase Einase Docha Lo Sase Viase. Right, Element Erisin Lo Sase Greta Yabu Ase Vidka Lo Sase. Okay. So in that little Havamina, in that line of the Gemara, that's not the Havamina, that's the Gemara. Basically, the Gemara is saying that the you know, the chiyuv of Yibum, even b'makom iser, should depend on aseh dokalos aseh, which is a very reasonable, you know, view. Okay, so then the Gemara says, right, this remarkable, you know, answer. Also, yivemto ashara. Again, I have to go back to this anyway. Shein tam alomer yivemto ma tom alu yivemto. So, this chiddush of Rav Gidol, okay, we usually take in one way, correctly, but it's much more, and again, we've talked about it, it's much more than, you know, what we usually invoke it for. We usually invoke Rav Gidol, right, to establish that Doraisa, notwithstanding, you know, kol she'eshno b'yibum yeshno b'chalitza, kol she'eino b'yibum yeshno b'chalitza, you know, which is supposed to be the rule, right, that there's an exception to that rule, right? And you know, how much of an exception? That becomes like a big question, right? Gzeres HaKosuv and one exception, or, you know, what we'd prefer to think, which is to learn from the exception to refine the rule, right, so that it isn't really an exception, but it's an understandable, you know, reinforcement of the rule. But either way, that's usually what Rav Gidol Amarav is helpful for. That there can be, notwithstanding the principle, there can be a doraisa of chalitza b'li yibum, and that's something we have to test, you know, further. Like, you know, is that going to be only in cases where there really should have been Yibum 2 and there's a Zika for Yibum, or there are two Zikas, or whatever the case may be? Well, that we need to get back. We've already seen debates among the Rishonim, you know, about, you know, other exceptions. But moreover, that part of Rav Gidel, just to review and hopefully make it shorter for the future, that part of Rav Gidel, we're not sure if it makes the final cut or not, because the Gemara has it here to explain this strange, you know, seeming, you know, phenomenon that we're ignoring ase dechalos ase, you know, and if that's true, that means that in Laban, you know, there is no Yibum, even though it's clear from the Mishnah that there's Chalitza. So then, you know, in the final cut, where the Gemara turns things around, which I'll get to in a second, it remains a question: do we still hold like Rav Gidel or not? Right? Is there Gzeres HaKasuv? So that's true for the main point of Rav Gidel that everybody associates with Rav Gidel. Meaning, is it true Lamaskana that there, you know, is a phenomenon? There's a situation, at least one, if not more, of Chalitza B'liyib. Aye, Lamaskana, that seems clear because everybody paskins, right? They ain't ase dochalos ase di ase, and that there's yibum and that there's no yibum and there's chalitza. So as we already know, right, the Ari Shonim, you know, the Rajba and the Tshuva and so on, that think that maybe Lamaskana, that's Durabana. Okay. So that is one question. Does that exist Durabana in that second halacha, I'm calling it, or that prime, we'll call it the primary halacha, of there being a chalitza b'liyibum? And, you know, the truth is that if you look at Tosis again on Chaf Amud Beis, you know, Dibur Masel Gzeira, right? So Tosis says that even though we don't need Rav Gidel in the Maskana of the Gemara, right? Amonim and Anisuin v'chai v'yaseh, nafkelom v'yibemto, da'afagav dein olon l'yibum, Olin l'chalitza. Much of what I'm saying right now, hopefully, is relevant to our next topic, the relationship of Yibum and Chalitza, because they overlap. Everything overlaps, and, you know, everything overlaps in everything, but everything particularly overlaps in Yavamos. Yeah. So what Tosis here says is Almanim Rasun B'chai B'Asei Nafka L'Miyibemto Da'afagav De'Nolun L'Yibum Olin l'chalitza, which is a way of saying the limud of Rav Gidel is correct. It just doesn't apply any longer to Kaive Lavin. It applies to... Ah. So it's interesting what Tosis applies it to. And understandable, but we'll see, not necessarily, you know, consensus agreed to. And that is to Ase V'Lav. Okay, that part seems more obvious. And also for Ase. Because also Ein Ase Doch Ase. So the truth is, we don't have any cases in the Gemara of Ein Ase Docha Ase where there's Chalitza B'liyibum, right? So Tosis is actually going a little bit on a limb, and we're going to turn our attention back to the Rambam, but we read it already the other day, so, you know, it should be known already that there's a problem in the Rambam about Ase. Meaning the Rambam equates Ase not with Ase B'lav, but with Lav. And that, of course, is tamua in its own right. Achronim asked that question. Again, it's obvious. The question's obvious. It's fascinating that the Nosei Kalim don't pick up on it for some reason. But again, like, you know, people like the Karen Orah are very bothered by it. I think the Avnei Miluim, you should look at, if you can, the Avnei Miluim and Simon Kufayin Dalid has an interesting piece on this. And the Nodeb Yehuda has an exchange with his son-in-law, like in the end of Evan Oezer. I'm sorry, not in the end of Evan. In the end of Madura Kama, of his tshuvas, but not at the end of Evan Oezer, after the whole, you know, tshuvas are done. So he there's something there, and there's a lot of, like, you know, complimentary accolades, you know, between, you know, the father-in-law and the son-in-law. Like, they don't have enough words, you know. Like, you know, like, you wonder, do they really get along? I guess they really did. But anyways, so the inclusion that Rashi of, you know, the on the Chalitza side, Doraisa, Bli Yibum, of Ase and Ase B'Lav, especially when you know, you consider Ase Dochalos Ase, is interesting. And it's probably Rashi, I'm sorry, it's Bali Tosis Lishitasam. If you look at Tosis here, again, we'll expand on this more, but on Daf Chaf Omid Beis, and, you know, actually even, the bottom of the first Tosis, the one that starts, Ihachi Chai Belab Nami, Chaf Omid Alf, the end of Chaf Omid Beis, and ends on Chaf Omid Beis, the end of that first Tosis. And then Dibra Maskil Mistabra, you know, Tosis, and if you look on Daf Ches Omid Aleph, make sure I go back to all these things, right? The Tosis on, is it Ches Omid Aleph or Ches Omid Beis? I'm sorry, Ches Omid Beis, we've already talked about. Dibra Maskil Kol Hecha Deika Train Likuchin, right? Tosis Vim Tomer Chai V'Yasei Nami. Okay. So, Bali Tosis Lishitasam, you know, equate ase with ase balav. Logically, that isn't so postured. I'm just, you know, paving the way. The Rambam didn't, and that's a little bit tamua on one level. Tosis is doing it more than they needed to. The Rambam is ignoring it, even when it seems, you know, like, you know, he shouldn't have. So you have almost two extreme views about locating ase, you know, in this equation. But either way, Tosis' conclusion is that Rav Gidel on the Chalitza side applies to Lav Yaseh as well as Aseh. The Bahag earlier... What?
Why is Tosis extreme?
Because the Gemara doesn't say explicitly that Aseh, you know, is an example of... I mean, there would be Yibum and Chalitza, but I don't think you need necessarily Rav Gidel Amarav for that, is what I'm trying to say. So, well, okay. So, meaning, Aseh and Aseh and Lav have in common the reality of Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh V'Aseh. That's what I'm trying to say. However, since an Aseh is typically Nidche less, you know, than a Lav, but is also usually kal yoser min alav in terms of the obstacle that it you know, represents. So the equation between them in all, especially as we'll see in a moment in Kanu, in Baal Kana, and things of that sort, is not so pasha. And I think of that is kind of what the Rambam has in mind, just that the Rambam is going even further. Okay. So either way, the Bahag, you know, in terms of, like, you know, early Mefarshim, and the Magen Mishnah quotes this, the Rishonim here quote this, you know, says, yes, Rav Gidel Marav, the Drasha, it's alive and well. We just no longer apply it only to Chai V'Lavin. We apply it to, you know, Aseh V'Lav. So what, you know, so there are really two questions. Does this limud of Rav Gidel Marav make it L'maskana, to the Maskana? That's question number one. And question number two, you know, what does it include? You know, Aseh V'Lav, or also Aseh? You know, what about other things? Like, what would you say about the other, you know, like Maaseh Grushoso, right? Or Sota Vadai for the Rav? Is that all because of Rav Gidel Amarav? Do you need Rav Gidel Amarav? It's not so clear that we even hold Rav Gidel Amarav. So, for example, just as you know, the Keren Ora is like very convinced that there's no need for, you know, Rav Gidel Amarav, you know, Lamaskana. Okay, and that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be Chalitza Doraisa and Yibum Midrabanan, but he thinks that that stands as a concept, you know, without the limud of Rav Gidel Amarav. Okay, we'll get to it, and for sure, many Rishonim may indeed hold that way. We don't know what the Rambam holds on that point. Okay, but there's another aspect of Rav Gidel Amarav. So, so far, I'm just noting, Rav Gidel Amarav, you know, is primarily invoked to justify the splitting of Chalitza from Yibum. How expansive that is, you know, is a question, and whether or not that part of it is retained L'maskana and its expansiveness is a question. But to begin with, just to make clear, on the Chaf Amud Aleph, when the Gemara first quotes Rav Gidel Amarav, right, there's another element, you know, and that's, you know, maybe that is the primary element. Initially, Rav Gidel Amarav is quoted not to justify chalitza, but to exclude yibum. And to exclude yibum, even in a case where, according to the principles, the Shas principles, the halacha system-wide principles, right, it should have been, sufficient, the ase no kolos ase, to be matir yibum under these conditions. According to the normal clashing rules or triage rules or whatever you want to call them, right, there, it should have been, baruch hashemesh, that yibum applies in chai be'lavin, right? And Rav Gidol is being invoked, right, to establish, that that is not true. Meaning that we're going to be more machmir in Hilchos Yibum than we are, according to the, general rules of halakha. Now, surely, Ein ze omer el darsheni. Okay, meaning, why? Why is it that Yibum is getting special treatment? Okay, so my point is that this is, obviously, for me, this is a very critical, from my perspective, but it's not like I, have a stock in this perspective and, then I'm, happy to see reinforcement. The reason I have this perspective is because of lines like Rav Gidol. I mean, that's originally, what made me find it so compelling. And that is that the idea is that, Yibum, in addition to the technical questions of Dechia or Hutra, well, this obviously works better in Hutra, that Yibum's heightened sensitivity, will explain why, even though we're tremendously makil, institutionally, to be Docha, Eshesach, and so on and so forth, why we only do that, when the circumstances are kedusha-wise conducive. So this is what I've mentioned a few times, that the Yerushalmi in the very beginning of Yevamos, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, has several deos in the Shakavatari of the Yerushalmi, and the Sifrei in Parshas Kiketze, although there the Gra changed the girsa for part of it. But nonetheless, our deos, in the Sifrei, this is our, discussions of Tanoim, where they seem to take the view also that when there are chai be'lavin, you can't have yibum. And, it sounds language-wise even more like, how could you do yibum? There's an isor here. Okay. So what happened to ase dokalosa? So if you look at the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi and the Mefarshim on the, Sifrei, they're like, oh, are these man da'amrim who generally don't say ase dokalos ase? Right? But the bit, or we have this in the Rav Yoh, in that tshuva earlier in the year, where we talk about saris and so on. Right? The Ravon, the Rav Yoh, the Rav Yoh quotes the Ravon. So the point is that it isn't just a line in Rav Gidol HaMarav, that is isolated. It's, actual views of Tanoim and Amaroi and Rishonim. That, we are going to defy some of the rules of ase dochalos ase when it comes to Yibum. And you can look at that as an isolated gzeres hakasu, but we, prefer to look at it as a pattern, that, Yibum is highly, highly sensitive, right, to violations of Kedusha. So that you have this dialectic of, incredible pressure to implement, this kiyesh v'achem yachdav, din, and at the same time, doing it in a way that is only conducive. So similarly, that's what Rav Gidol Marav is. So just as the Gemara Lematzkana, let me just say this for a moment, we're not sure whether or not Rav Gidol Marav made the final cut.
Okay.
Good. And we're not sure if it did make the final cut, legabe chalitza, how expansive that is and how much it includes. Fine, that's what we need to flesh out even more, when we deal with it a little more comprehensively. Fine. But is it also possible that even though the Gemara's conclusion is that when it comes to Chai Be'lavin, right, that, we do go according to the rules, of triage and clashing and so on and so forth, you know, that, you know, it, even the first, the primary initial, you know, Rav Gidl Amarab, as I say, is not about chalitza. It's about yibum. It's about yibum, you know, requiring a threshold of heter, you know, that is more than call it Torah Kula. So is that principle still true? Just doesn't apply to Lavin because ein aseh dochalos aseh? Right, that's just something to think about. So in a way, our discussions of, you know, sota, right, tuma ke'erva, and even machzor grushaso, right, are connected to that. Whether they're connected specifically to Rav Gidl Amarav in that point, right, or no, Rav Gidl Amarav, if it makes, you know, the final cut to whatever it applies, is only a din of chalitza, but it's always cases where the chisaron in yibum, you know, is something that follows the normal rules, you know. So again, what do you want to say? You know, tumah ke'erva shayni, whatever other, you know, factors you want to point to, or you want to say, yeah, it's the mentality of Rav Gidl Amarav. It doesn't matter so much. I'm just trying to show that there's a bigger point here. Oh, now part of the bigger point here also is, I mean, we might then be looking, you know, for echoes, you know, either through Rav Gidl Amarav, let's say, or in its own right. So, for example, I'll just tell you the question, then I'm just going to, you know, relate it more to the Kenyan side. So, for example, we say, you know, ein aseh dochalos aseh v'aseh. This is what I mentioned the other day, right? There is a machlokas bali tosfos in different places, and the Achronim picked up on it, and that is, you know, when we say ein aseh dochalos aseh v'aseh, are we talking about heter? Or are we talking about, you know, an ikuv, you know, in the performance of the mitzvah, and possibly, you know, also in the onesh, you know, of the lav. In other words, there are two ways you could say ein aseh dochalos aseh v'aseh. Right? One is that, you know, the aseh is docha v'los aseh, but the aseh is not docha v'aseh. Ein aseh docha aseh. That makes sense, right? And therefore, when you have an aseh and a los aseh, so the aseh isn't docha the aseh, you know, but it is docha the los aseh. And therefore, im avar the asa, you would think, you know, that that would still be effective, right? And there would be no malchus for the lav, but there would be still an isa. You wouldn't be allowed to do it begavra, because, you know, it's. You know, it's still asurim because it's a violation of an aseh. Therefore, you're obligated to cease and to desist. Right? But im avar v'asa, if you took that perspective, there'd be no malchus, and you'd probably be mekayim the mitzvah aseh as well. And that is the view of Tosis in Chulin. What is it? Kuf mem dalet or something? I wrote it down somewhere. Whatever. Oh. The other possibility, as we explained, you know, is to look at this in terms of, you know, the, where did I put all these papers? So the other possibility, I think it's Kuf Mem Dalet. Again, the Mishnah Melech quotes it in a bunch of places. The other possibility is that, you know, you have an aseh. So when the aseh is, you know, in contest with the los aseh, so aseh docha los aseh. When there are, you know, too many forces, you know, on the other side of the battlefield, so then the aseh cannot overcome the combination of forces, which means that it doesn't have the ability to be docha the lav because of the assistance of the aseh. Right? Nafkamina may be, again, the obvious nafkamina will be that you wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah aseh, presumably, and that you would get malchus for the lav. So, it could also be a nafkamina, or it could be that, you know, there would be a difference whether or not, again, we were talking about a composite aseh v'lav on the other side, or, you know, just it so happens this runs into an aseh and a lav. Because if you take the view you know, that mostly the aseh is no kavalav, even with the aseh, it's just that the aseh is a ma'akev, then there's absolutely no reason why you need an integration. You don't need like a single iser, which is covered by a lav and an aseh, something like, you know, Shabbos and Yom Tov, or almana, nesua, lekohen gadol, etc. You know, it would be huadin, it wouldn't make a difference. It would be huadin, because the halacha itself would just be weaker to begin with. Whether you happen to be, you know, two different mekayvim, an aseh and a lav. Similar to the discussion we had about, you know, multiple lavin on the other side. You know, we talked about, you know, do you need something like, you know, Shabbos and Yontif, or like two, in terms of two lavin, like, you know, Tumura or Bayira, Bayimatze, or no. But, of course, if what you're trying to say is that there's this, you know, immense, you know, struggle, and the aseh normally overrides, you know, the lav, but it can't override a lav and an aseh, therefore can't even override the lav that is connected to the aseh, then it's very not mukrak. You know, sometimes, you know, do the forces against you that overwhelm you need to be like, you know, integrated forces under the same, like, command, and they need to, you know, be compatible forces? Or, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to divide and conquer, but there are just too many people to conquer, and therefore you lose. But maybe you know, by dividing, you know, you can't, you sap your energy. You know, my son Avigdor will be very, I think, you know, pleased with this terminology. And you, you know, thereby, you know, you can't overwhelm, you know, the divided, you know, forces either, right? So the point is, these are very different perspectives. But just taking a step back for a second, one of the things that bothered, and that's part of the Nota Bene discussion, but, you know, objectively, it would bother. If you take the view that typically, aseh dokalos aseh v'aseh, doesn't mean that you lose, right? It means that, you know, you're not allowed to do it, but the aseh is still doka v'lav, and there's no malchus, and there's even a kiyum aseh. I think it could be mechalek also, between whether there's malchus, I think that's the first thing to go. Whether there's a kiyum aseh, I think is more of a question, but whatever. But if you take that view, so don't you have a stira to our Gemara here on Daf Chav? Because after all, the Gemara here, and that's where we want to move on, when the Gemara wants to prove this idea, you know, that kolaola, that, you know, that you can have an Iser Yibum that breaks the rules of Aseh Docha Los Aseh, meaning Aseh Docha, you know, Los Aseh. You know, but not in Yibum. So now, this is where we get to the background. So now, the Gemara says, you know, Gemara's challenging this. So the Gemara says, Masiv, where does it go? Iso kadaita chai be'lavim midaraisa l'chalitza rami l'yibum lo rami. This is Masiv Rava, right? Iso mitzvah iso kedusha ba'al leha o'cholatz v'nifter atzarasa. O'cholatz lo nifter atzarasa. Iso kadai dechai bilav midaraisa lechai tzurami liyibam larami ki ba la amai niftara tzarasa. Meaning, what's the Gemara saying? That if yibum, you know, is not permitted, you know, because of Rav Gidel, right, then it also should not work. Okay, well, the language with the tzara we'll get back to in a second. Right? So the Gemara, which, is that true? Meaning maybe it just means that they're, meaning the Gemara here seems to be rejecting the middle position that we're looking at, which is that something could be osur liyabeim midoraisa, but im avar v'yibeim, that it would be chal in some way. The Gemara, in Rav Gidel, the Gemara is rejecting that. So the Gemara says, hum osif la, hum mafarik la, litzdadim ktani, bala isur mitzvah, chalatz la, a isur kedusha. Good. Then the Gemara has again a repeat, although the language is different. Masiv Rava, Tzuadaka Krushavcha, right? Sris Adam Vahazaken, O Chotzin O Miyavne. Ketzad, Mesu Velahem Achim Velahem Nashim, Vamdu Achav, Vasu Maimir, Bin Shosem, Vasu Get, Vachotzu, Vash Asu Asu, Vimbalu Kanu. Mesu Achim Vamdu, right? Vasu Maimir, Shosem, Vasu Get, Shokotzu, Vash Asu Asu, Vimbalu Kanu, Vasu Lakaimon. This is Chayvei Lavin. Shenem Rav Leyovim Tzu Adaka. So again, here, twice, the Gemara says explicitly that it, according to the Havamina of Rav Gidol Amarav, namely that, you know, there's an Isur Yibam Doraisa, but I would say, you know, we should keep in mind, it's not just an Isur Yibam Doraisa, it's an Isur Yibam Doraisa that is more chamor, right, than the normal rules, we'll see. So the it shouldn't be kona. I mean, b'dieved, it should not work. Elam Arava. So then the Gemara says, Elam Arava, Almanam and Aresin, right? Nami aseva lo saseva. I mean, briefly, the Gemara wants to abandon Rav Gidel and to go back to the rules of asedocha lo sase. Aye, what about Almanah l'kohen gadol? The Gemara thought, oh, Almanah l'kohen gadol ben Erison is also ase velo sase. Right? D'ksiv k'doshim yiyu, and so on. The Gemara says, yes, no, okay. And then finally, it's a gzeira, and so on. Okay. Oh. So the point is as follows. At this point, you could have thought, and then the Gemara says, Gzeir Birushon, about to be Ashniya, etc. And then the Gemara says, brings a riot, Tanya Mahachi, Imbalu Kanu. Right? Bibiya Rishon, Asalakaima Bibiya Shni, Hadam Araba, Lav Mils, Divri Ravashi's Lav Milsahi, Domri, Domri Shlakish, Kobok Rishata Motse, Ase, Velosa, Say, Imat Yachalakaim Shne, Mutad, Im Lav Yavo, Ase, Beid Kalosa, Say, Achinami Efshar, Bechalitza, the Mekayim Ase Velos Ase. The Gemara says Mesve Imbalu Kanu Tiyufta. Okay, so this is the point I want to make. Initially, the Gemara has this idea of Imbalu Kanu, you know, being dependent upon the Isur Yibum to begin with, meaning excluding the possibility of Im Avar B'Yavam, you know, B'Di'eved Kana. With regard to Rav Gidel. By extension, right, the Gemara applies that to the situation of Ein Ase Docha Los Ase V'Ase as well. Okay, I wish it hadn't, but it does. I mean, the Gemara says, okay, fine. It's not Rav Gidel. It's a case of Ase V'Lav. Meaning to explain why Im Avar, you know, that's part of the discussion in Avar Lokana. So we're saying, Ein Ase Docha Los Ase V'Ase, plus Im Avar V'Yibem Lokana. Right? So isn't that a stira to the Bali Tosis who hold that Ein Ase Docha Los Ase V'Ase, there's no Malkus, and maybe there's also Kiyam Mitzvah Saseh? Right? You're not supposed to do it. And here, again, if you're a Mechalek between the Malkus part and the Aseh part, that could still save the situation. But the bigger point I'm trying to make is that how do you square the view that Aseh Dochalos Aseh, Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh V'Aseh, you know, normally, assuming that it negates the Malkus and it also gives you the Aseh, the Kiyum Aseh, so wouldn't that be contradicted by this Gemara? Right? But the answer would seem to be that, or at least might seem to be, the Gemara has that line, you know, may have it afterwards as well, in connection with Rav Gidol Amarav still. Meaning if the Gemara is just suggesting, you know, that the din of Rav Gidol Amarav, as I said before, there are two parts of Rav Gidol Amarav. One is, you can have Chalitza B'Liyim. Let's forget about that for the moment. Right? The other part is that maybe the standards for Yibum, right, are more sensitive, meaning are higher standards, than for the regular din of clashes and triage and kol tara kula. Okay. So the Gemara originally thought that that was true. Ein ase doche lo sase when it comes to Yibo. And the Gemara was also connected to that. The issue, imbal lo kana. Right? Again, you might have said, even if ein ase doche lo sase be Yibum, but im avar the you know, im avar the asa, since I'm called Tarek Kula, it's ase doche lo sase, so b'dievet it should be kona. Right? On the other hand, if that's the whole point of Rav Gidel, which is, oh, Yibum has a higher standard than Kol Torah Kula, right? And the reason for that is, you know, the sensitivity of Yibum from a Kedusha point of view. So then, of course, in Bo'a Lo Kana, right? Now the Gemara is saying, okay, you know, there seems to be evidence that, you know, Chai Be'Lavim, you know, cannot be excluded from Yibum Minato. Right? So then the Gemara says, okay, fine. We're talking about a case of Einase Docha Lo Sase Viase. Right? But then the problem is, what are you going to do for those Rishonim who think that Einase Docha Lo Sase Viase doesn't mean that there's Malkus and doesn't necessarily mean that there's no Kiyum Asay? So what I'm suggesting is that just like Rav Gidel Amarav, according to some Rishonim, you know, even if you don't need him for the original Chai Be'Lavin, you know, is still a drasha, you know, that establishes the independence of Chalitza from Yibum in certain cases. Maybe it also still establishes, right, the higher sensitivity and standards of Yibum. Just not, you know, even once you say that idea, I mean, there are still places to draw the line. So what we're saying is when it comes to Chai Be'Lavin, ase do chalos ase, where it's even muttered, you know, we call it Torah Kula, so they're not. They're the Zechi of Yibum. But wherever there's no Yibum, even though you're applying it to cases which are consistent, you know, with the normal principles, ase do chalos ase vein do ase do chalos ase viase, right, it's still conceivable that the drasha of Rav Gidel, you know, tells you that applying, once there's no heter in Yibum, right? Now previously we thought that even if there's a heter in Kol Torah Kula in this circumstance, there's no heter in Yibum. Maybe now what we're being told is that even when there's no heter in Kol Torah Kula, when it comes to Yibum, the absence of heter means there's also no kiyum. And maybe there's Malkus, right? In which case, you know, in Baal Lokano. Later on, right, if that's the case, then there's no stira to the Bali Tosfos, you know, general view of Einase Dokalos Ase Biase, and here, right? It's just part of this perspective. Oh, one second. Then later on in the continuation, just give me one more second. Then later on in the continuation, right, the Gemara applies this idea of imbalu kanu or lo kanu also to the principle of ein ase doche lo sase, right, be'efshar lekayim shnehem. Correct? And the Gemara says in the end here, right, Amar Rava Vitema Ravashi Lab Milsa Damar the Amar Eshlakish Komakram Shatamot say Ase Velos Ase Matiakal Kaim Shne Mutavim Lab Yabo Ase Vid Kalos Ase Hokanami Efshir B'Chalitza, of course, which we need to talk more about. And then later on in Chapalafom and Aleph, the Gemara's answer, oh, you know, Chalitza B'Bakom Yibum Ein Mitzvah. Okay, but when the Gemara thought that Chalitza B'Bakom Yibum is Mitzvah, right? So, or the Achronim have we'll see soon, they have another suggestion. Let's say there's more than one brother, or let's say there's, you know, our tzaros. You know, so in addition to, you know, the option of chalitza, you have the option to do yibum, you know, with partners that don't have the Iser. Maybe that should dictate that this is not Dabar she'ef shar l'kayim shnehem, in which case there should be no ein ase docha lo sase. Right? That's a discussion. So those are all questions. Those are fundamental questions. Well, let me say it this way. Those are dual questions. They're questions about the parameters of Efshar and Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. Like, what does that really mean? Does it mean, you know, practically that you have options? You know, how, you know, viable or attractive or different do those options need to be from an Aseh Docha Lo Saseh point of view? How much tkuya, how much tziruf, is it a tziruf ish, oh, whatever. That's one whole big theme that is connected to the parameters of what constitutes efshar and efshar l'kayim shneim. Just like the bi'idne is that kind of a question, right? But there's another question, right? And that is, the relationships of tzara and achim, you know, and the relationship of Bibum to Chalitza. So that all needs to be fleshed out. We need to go back to that sugya. But either way, when the Gemara thought that there's no Ase Docha Lo Sase because of Efshar L'Kayim Shnehem, right, is that comparable to Ein Ase Docha Lo Sase V'Ase? With regard to the question of Avar, you know, kia kano or lo kano. So in the Shakta Vitari, the Gemara, it is. Right? The Gemara says, mesve in balu kano, kanu. You know, if you're going to say balu kanu, then that means that ase zoche lo sase here. Because if ein ase doche lo sase biglal she'ief she l'kaim shneem, then im avar v'yibem, right, it should be it should be lo kanu. So if you're saying balu kanu, right, that proves that there is. So again, if you take the view that any time, I'm trying to labor hard here to try to explain that in the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara, right, even if generally, right, we were to say, you know, that there could be like an in between category, right. That maybe, you know, you have to figure out what yes and what not. So the Gemara here seems to be saying, if ein ase docha lo sase because of efshar l'kayim shneim, right, then there would be no bidyeved kiyum either. Is that, you know, in the hierarchy, let's say, of ein ase docha lo sase v'ase, right? And now, or the Gemara's original thought that ase docha lo sase, but not in yibum. Okay, and now the Gemara's suggestion, ein ase docha lo sase b'makom she efshar l'kayim shneim. Like, you know, which of these, im avar ve'uba, which of these is a bigger chiddush? Okay? So, it may very well be that if there's no dechuya whatsoever, right, because it's efshar l'kayim shneim, efshar l'kayim shneim, because there's not, unlike asev, you know, below asev, which you can wonder about, you might say that in a situation where it's efshar l'kayim shneim, you know, you have an iser gamur, and therefore, it's worse than, let's say, ein asev docha, you know, lo asev v'ase, you know, absent the addition of Rav Gidel. Okay, why am I working so hard on this? Meaning, I'm trying to find whether or not it's possible that there are other cases where there's an iser to do something, but im avar uboal kana. And what I'm suggesting is that every time you invoke Rav Gidel, or you have a situation where the reason that there's a lav is like implacable, like there's no give, you know, then okay, you could say there's no zika or there's no kiyum ibum whatsoever. But you can still have situations, you know, which are in between, which aren't covered, you know, either by Rav Gidel because we don't paskin like Rav Gidel the halacha, or we think that only the chalitza side of Rav Gidel, you know, is still true, not the other side. You know, once we say that, you know, then basically we're no longer committed, even in Ase Velav, to saying Imbal, you know, Lokana necessarily. And the fact that, let's say, again, you would say that about Ef Shalakaim Shneim, it's hard to know. That also been under the rubric of Rav Gidel? You know? Or that's, you know, more obvious. So let me highlight it by the following, now going to the following cases. Let's say Ase, right? So we mentioned before that Bali Tosis like to equate Ase, Ein Ase Docha Ase, and Ein Ase Docha Ase Velo Sase. Correct? And, you know, both on Daf Ches, Omid Beis, and here, as I say, this the end of the top Tosis on Kaf Omid Beis, and certainly Mistab Rechai Vilav and Tosis, because the second Tosis on the Daf. The Bali Tosis mostly think that the din of Ein Ase Docha Ase and Ein Ase Docha Los Ase V'Ase, and then, of course, the one Atu Gzeira, in terms of the inclusion with Rav Gidel, are identical. And I think if that is understandable, because in both cases we do say Ein Ase Docha Los Ase, right? But I also think, you know, that it's particularly understandable for Bali Tosis, who in general, as we've been discussing, you know, care less about the relationships and more about the justification of being miyabim, you know, the heter. Or, and therefore, for them, if the rule is ein ase docha lo sase v'ase, and it's also true that ein ase docha ase, right? So even if those are different in some way, right? They're similar enough in that the issue revolves around, you know, the heter of Yibo, which is why I think Bali Tosis were, you know, quick to connect them, you know, and to integrate them both in terms of Rav Gidel. But getting back to what Nathan asked me before, I don't think that's a simple matter at all. Because as we just pointed out, you know, is the principle of Ein Ase Docha Ase the exact, you know, identical problem of Ein Ase Docha Ase Velo Sase? Not necessarily. In other words, if you take a stronger view that Ase Velav is something that is not overcomable, let's say you have three cases, in other words, of Ein, you know, Ase, you know, Docha, or four cases, you know. Let's say, take four. Can we take five? No. Ein Ase Docha Lav Sheish Bakaris. Okay. Right? Then there is, in the exact opposite, you know, part of the spectrum, you know, Ein Ase Docha Ase. So it's not because the Ase is so chamor, you know, like the lav of Kares that you can't, you know, you can't be over. Right? And then between those you have, you know, Ein Ase, you know, Docha, you know, Ase Valav, right? Which could end up just being Ein Ase Docha Ase. If it is, then that's fine. It's identical. But maybe that's not the reason Tosa would say it, if they held that way always. But it could mean, you know, it's not Krisus, right? But it's also not Ein Ase Docha Ase. Ein Ase Docha Ase is more like Mechatesi. Why should you choose this mitzvah over that mitzvah? Not because, you know, in light of the lav, you know, in light of a lav Sheish Bakares, or in light of Ase Balav, you know, it you know, there's no justification to do this. You know, not that one isn't any better than the other. This is worse. Right? And maybe that defangs, I wouldn't say defangs, that, you know, I wouldn't say simply, because I'm not saying that, right? So it downgrades the significance of the Ase. So, or the other case in between, which is, you know, it's Ase and Alav, but it's Efshel Lekayim Shneim. Oh, that case, that's not just a technicality, right? It's, again, it's an interesting question. It's an Ase, and, you know, had it been Efshel Lekayim Shneim, this Ase would have, you know, in theory, this Ase, you know, could exist, b'makom, the violation of this Lav, you know, if the circumstances had been, you know, Efshel Lekayim Shneim, but do we then look at Efshel Lekayim Shneim, or Efshel Lekayim Shneim just as a technicality? or no, b'makom that it's efshel l'kayim shneim. You know, there's no matir, you know, whatsoever. In that sense, maybe it's the worst or somewhere in between. My point is that, you know, Rav Gidlam Arab is one reason to say im yibeim lo kana. Ein ase docha ase is the weakest reason to say, you know, im avar, you know, lo kana. And frankly, we'll get to the Rambam in just a minute, isn't that exactly what the Rambam says? Right? On the one hand, the Rambam seems to equate ase and lav. You know, but it's hard to say that according to the Kol HaTorah Kula rules. Right? But he does say it in the context of the issue of im avar v'yibeim kana kinyan gamor or not. We'll look at the Rambam in just a second. Okay, so having said all of this, identified ein ase docha ase, ein ase docha lav sheish bakares, ein ase docha ase balav, ein ase docha los ase b'mokrim she yev shalakayim shneim. Those are four, you know, seemingly interconnected cases. That part of the question is to assess them for sure, but also to assess them regarding Yibum as opposed to Kol HaTorah Kula, maybe, if you add Rav Gidlam Arab as the rubric, right? So what we're saying is there might be different levels. So then add to that, what about Sota Vadai, you know, where there is Tfisas, you know, Kiddushin, right? And, you know, there's not even a Lav basically, for the yabam, right? So is that just like, you know, Rav Gidlam Arav, or better or worse, right? And what about Nida? And there you have the Machlokas O'Achronim. And what about Nida? Chai Be'Krisus, Ase, Ein Ase Dokalos Ase Sheish Bakares. But it's not a issue, it's kind of a pagan, right? That's the Rav Elbel discussion, or the 2 days in the Rishonim and the Rav Elbel discussion, right? And what about Machzor Grushaso, right? Which, you know, again, Tosas thinks according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur is identical, you know, to Ein Chalitza Ein Yibum, you know, maybe Yesh Tzara, you know, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur. Although again, we have to talk about that because of the Rambam. Right? So, okay, so Masa Grishaso, you know, is for sure a step lower. You know, there's Chalitza. There's a discussion in the Gemara, there's a debate in the Gemara about Tzara. Yes or no? And now, you know, it emerges, though, also like Sota, but you know, more moderate, more even worse, right? It's not the Iser of the Baal. The Iser is between the Baal and the Isha. We're talking about the Yabam and the impact that has on him. That's what it shares with Sota, right? But it's even on a Darga lower than that. So how should we treat Masa Grushaso? Is it like equal to, you know, Ase Balav? Or less? Right? So now that becomes a very interesting question in terms of like this middle, you know, kind of position. So having said that, let's look at the Rambam. But before we look at the Rambam, there's one other thing to note. Sorry this takes so long. Just to sort it out. Just one more thing to note. Just give me a second. And that is that the language of the Gemara, you know, is also curious on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, and that you have two different cases, two different Masiv Ravas about in Yibeim or in Baal, Kana or Lo Kana, right? In the second case, in the case of Saris, right, it's Ptua Daka V'Kruz Shavcha, Srisa Demad Zaken, Ocholtzen O Miyavmen, Ketzad Mesu, and so on, Masha Asu Asu, in Baalu Kana. And that wouldn't be true if there was a law. So there we're speaking about the impact of the Yibum on the Misyavemes. Correct? Earlier, when the Gemara was asking the question, Masiv Rava, Isra Mitzvah, Isra Kedusha, Bala, O Cholatzla, Niftar, Atzarasa, there the Gemara was talking about the impact of the Yibum B'diavad, if it's Asur, on the Tzara. Ah. So that could just be, those, you know, it's more of a Chiddush, you know, but no big deal one way or another. You know, either Yibum, you know, is Poter, B'diavad, you know, and you know, there's no reason necessarily to be Mechalik between her and the Tzara, is there? Or does that emphasis imply that there are two different levels, even within the world, of imyibem kana olo kana? Namely, maybe there could be situations where, you know, bidyeved, right, there is, you know, an impact on, you know, being matir her lishuk, meaning the object of the yibum bidyeved, that's also the chatchila min haTorah, you know, but that bidyeved, that would still to be a kiyum yibum, if there wasn't a chiyuv yibum, that wouldn't be enough for the tzara, because the tzara doesn't, you know, benefit from that, directly from that action. But, you know, with regard to the misyavemes herself, that would be chal, right? As opposed to, you know, something that is more, you know, unequivocally, you know, where the zika is chal, le'inyan yibum, you know, and therefore the yibum of one, you know, is matir everyone. Is it possible to be mechalek, in other words, between the, you know, the active participant in this, you know, illegal yibum and the impact on the tzara? So based on the language of the Gemara, that's a question to ask. And then when we look at the Rambam, right, we see it's much more. Before I do, you had a question? Nothing?
I was just aware of that. If you take the reveal and the Rav perspective, so then IBSA might actually also be worse than in Kol Torah Kula, because if
it could be worse than it is in Kol Torah Kula.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're dealing with a mitzvah, you know, a candidate who is...
Right. So it also might depend on what is the Chai Be'yaseh.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, for example, Karen Ora and others, like he quotes, I remember who he quotes, but Chosen Yeshua, well, one of these Sfarim that I'm not so familiar with, but that, you know, the Karen Ora was familiar with and quotes a lot. So like, you know, oh, maybe there's a difference between different Essen. But he wants to say difference between different Essen, like an Isra'se or a Kumbase. It also could be that the difference, just like what Ravelba was saying, which is, and we're saying, oh, there would be a difference between different Ase Balabs too. There might be different Essen, meaning, is it a, like you say, is it a Pagam in the Ishus? And of course, what constitutes that? Just like there's a question, what is She'er for Rabbi Akiva? You know, there's a question like, what is the level of Pagam B'Ishus that would create hypersensitivity for something based on like Rav Gidel or something comparable to it? Right, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Clarify one point. Rabbi Yosef Medayik earlier that this Gemara assumes Asay below Asay when it pivots to saying, oh, it's Alman Amin HaEir, it's also Asay below Asay.
And that line in the Gemara, and the Gemara seemed to be thinking that with that there still would be im yibeim lo kana.
How does Rebbe know that last point?
Because I thought they were just trying to. I thought it goes back to the question that they asked earlier,
right.
Which is
she's right. So I mean, the reason we shouldn't be Ramiel Yibum, but who says it's not going to be the
other? Right. So that, am I wrong about that? Is there a hole? Is there a way to get out of that?
Yeah, I mean,
Gemara's
initially said...
I mean, Gemara's now saying, oh, these questions that you're asking, which are strong questions...
So certainly Chayvei Lav in our code.
There are cases of Asay Velos Asay, and therefore that solves the problem, which is that it seemed to be that B'dieved, these things would work.
I thought the Gemara was saying those cases are definitely Chayvei Lav in, and the answer is, okay, Chayvei Lav in, we do apply Asay to Chalos Asay, but the case right. of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that they're not Miyabim, that's because the case of the Mishnah is talking
about... Is Asay Velav. 100%.
Right. Okay.
But then going back to, you know, part of the Shach Levitarya, right. Doesn't it also mean that in the case of Asay Velav in Boal Lo Kana?
I'm not saying why.
No. I thought it just I thought that was implicit, like, oh, everything is fine and good. That in that transition, in other words, That's not the nafkamina. If it wouldn't be the case, it could be that the Karanora holds like you. I have to look at again the language. But I think that Pashtus, when the Gemara is switching and it's solving the problems, the implication is that, you know, that it would be a problem, you know, otherwise. In other words, if what we're saying for Rav Gidel in Lav, you know, what we're saying in Rav Gidel and Rav is true only when there's an assay in Lav.
Okay, but it's not Mochav that we need to invoke Rav Gidel.
Which then means, in other words, that in Baal, lo kana.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
and in Baal, lo kana means a bidiyabed. Right? It's still no Yibum,
right,
which is what poses the question for Tosas and Chulin, let's say. Right. Or I'm using Tosas and Chulin, A, to highlight, you know, that this idea that Yibum has higher standards, you know, and B, a little bit, you know, that, again, to show that I'm weighing like a hierarchy, like different cases. And
right.
Right.
And the Gemara at the beginning said, "Amano kohen gadol, kapas gitani, miyana badalef, no shnam minayis, nisuin, no shnam minayirisin."
Right.
And the Mishnah minayis nisuin, asay velos asay. And I said that, so the Gemara was fine. So minayis nisuin, asay velos asay.
Right.
We're happy with the Mishnah if it's asay velos asay. Oh, minayirisin, we don't understand the Mishnah. Why would you just say asay velos asay? And Rava says, no, even amano minayirisin is asay velos asay. So it seems to be going back to the first line of the Gemara. That the Gemara
but
was,
right, but then it's fine to understand that if you just had Chai Be'lav and it would be Kanu,
right,
and you don't need to like re-whatever the thing.
Right, okay.
But as opposed to Ase Be'lav, where it wouldn't be Kanu.
I don't see why it's weighing in. I just don't see why it's weighing in either way, because all we've done is we just...
I just thought if when the Gemara makes a substitution, you just left, you can't turn your back.
But the substitution is not...
And then you have also the continuation about, you know, Lakayim Shneim, that's a
story. Okay, no, that, right. That, right. I agree.
Okay, so you know, let me look at it again. You're right, it's a little bit of a tricky Shakavatari, and it could be, I think, possibly, I just have to check, I don't remember because I read it very quickly, that it could be the Karanora, you know, holds like what you're saying, that there's a way to read the Gemara, that even Ase Valav would not be, in other words, in Yibem Kana.
Well, what does everything the Rambam means by
any Oh, so let's hope, so, yeah, so now let's get to the Rambam. In the Rambam, I think you might have to say that, but it could be in the Rambam that's because we don't hold our Gidol Lamaskana, or... No. Oh, so that, now let's look at the language of the Rambam. Sorry, it's late. And then I want to now show the Beis Shmuel and the Taz and the Karanora, so if we could finish that on Sunday, and then I want to finish up with the Rambam in Hilchos Geirishin, you know, Perikid Beis and Hilchos Yisurin Bia, you know, Parakal, and the Reb Chaim, the one in Yibum that we last paragraph there, but also the Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yisurin Bia. And again, I want to also, in light of that, also just make a stab, as I did last year, at the, you know, why the Rambam seems to, you know, define Matzah Grushaso, you know, La'achar Nisuin here, you know, in Hilchos Yibum, when he paskins like the Chachamim, and then you have a similar problem in the Ramban, but okay. So that's the plan. So let me just talk about the Rambam, you know, for a minute. So if you look at the Rambam, Perek Vav, right. So everything is mechudash in the Rambam's presentation, you know, Kedarko. Now remember, it starts from, you know, Tesan Yud, you know, his, you know, the end of Ches and Tes, his citation of his need to exclude Erva, you know, from Yibum v'Chalitza, not to rely on Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh Shesh Bakares, as we've discussed. The Mokar here, as opposed to Perish Mishnayis, you know, of Ulekacha, which is also his endorsement, you know, of the Gemara's Shaktavataria here on Chav, that the difference between, that Tfitzas Kedushin is a relevant factor when it comes to Yibum, something again that was in the Shaklavataria of Rav Gidel Amarav, right? But, you know, once the Gemara pivots to Ase Izdo Chalos Ase, you could have said that, you know, perspective is, you know, Batal Mevotel. The Rama didn't think so. The Ramban and others didn't think so either. Maybe Bali Tosis did. Okay. So all that is very mechudash in the reading of the Gemara, and reading of this Gemara, of Kafam and Aleph, of Kafam and Beis, right? So then, oh, then you have the language of the Ramban, of the Rambam. So what are the issues in the language of the Rambam? Just very briefly. So yeah, let's have somebody read it quickly. Ezra, go ahead. Starting from Halacha Yud. Perikvav Halacha Yud, yeah. So Hoysa Hayibama Asur al Yibama or Yibma, right? So let's just first read the Rambam quickly and just identify the problems, okay? Iser lav. Okay. So, already, this isn't the problem, but lav, first of all, he has, Iser lav and Iser aseh together. Correct? Okay. He doesn't mention aseh v'lav. That's fine at this point. But it's choletzes v'lo misyavemes. Just like when you read the Rambam, you're thinking, ooh, why stick in Iser aseh here particularly? Even though, it's true, but there are two different dinim, aren't there? One is ein aseh docha aseh. Right, and the other is the Dindurabanan, of Atu. Okay, so that's just food for thought. When you start reading the Rambam, we'll see, maybe as he goes along, he's going to clarify, which he half does. Okay. Tarezu choletzes v'lo yimisyavemes. Go ahead. So again, this part of the Rambam is Mechudash. That's Lashitaso in the previous halacha. Right, that Tfisas Kiddushin is the factor. Tfisas Kiddushin is the problem of Erva, and Tfisas Kiddushin is the reason why there is Chalitza. And again, in both cases, the Rambam identifies the Mechaneh Meshutaf, namely the common denominator, we'll stop in a minute, and that is Zika. Right? If there's Tfisas Kiddushin, there is Zika. That's just a line in the Gemara that didn't make it to the editing room. Not true. It made it to the editing room. It just revised it, right? Or at least we didn't reject it. We just didn't say the bigger chiddush about it, namely the chiddush about having or necessarily higher standards for Yibum than Kol HaTorah clash rules. Well, at least But okay, he is embracing several times over. Right, that this is a din in Zika, and that this is dependent on Tfisas Kiddushin. Good. Umina din. Now is where he's going to help us a little bit. Oh. So what is going on here? One more time. The Chachamim were gozer that there shouldn't be Yibum in Chai Be'Lavin. One second. Min Adin Haya Sheyis Yavmu, right? She Yibum Mitzvah Saseh. V'kol Mokum Shatamotzi Aseh V'lo Saseh. Yavu Aseh V'yid Kaloseh. So far, so good. Right? But the Chachamim were gozer Gzeira. Okay. The ein shum mitzvah, she ein mitzvah asay ela bia rishona bilva. Okay, good. That's the ein shum mitzvah refers to bia shniya. So far, the Rambam's totally, he's walked back any implication that chai ve'lavin, is something more than a din drabban. But then comes lefikach, which is always a drum roll, right? Lefikach, is like a klomar. Like, obviously he knows he's saying something, which is im avar uba'al yevemto ho'asura lo mishum lav o mishum asei. Ah. Vein tzor klomar shnia hareza kana. Go ahead. So two things. Number one, where did the asei? Originally he had the asei with the lav. Then he walked back the lav, didn't say anything about the asay, because presumably the rule is still that ein asay docha asay. Right? Why would any asay be docha? I mean, you'd be in a perpetual state of you know, ein asay docha asay. You'd be like the asay is docha, which asay should be docha, which asay. Right? Ah. So, how do all of a sudden asay get equated with the lav when it's more chamor, you know, regarding the, this is a kol Torah kula problem, right? Here, instead of being kol Torah kula stringent, is being kol Torah kula mekel, seemingly. Ein tzarich lomar shniya, that part is correct. And then, of course, he has this expression, Hareze Kana Kinyan Gamor. Okay, so the Kana Kinyan Gamor is the Rambam's phrase, an emphasis. Doesn't come from the Gemara. Yeah, Hareze Kana, or that is a, you know, Im Yibeim Kana. But, you know, the Kinyan Gamor, the word Gamor, as some of the notes of Kalin point out, we were talking about it last time, you know, that is seemingly, you know, excessive. The Rambam, you know, uses the expression kinyan gamur in other places where it seems like, you know, either there's something in between or there's some, or the enthusiasm has a good reason for it. Like we talked about, you know, his view about chupas nida in Perikyot Hikos Isha. There are many other cases as well. But when he talks about other things, a miyu and other things, the word kinyan gamur, you know, is a loaded term in the Rambam, as you would expect that it would be. So it sounds like what he, you know, he's weighing here the possibility of there being some sort of, you know, in-between kinyan. Okay. Umotsia beget. Also interesting. Meaning it's not just that the yibum in Chai Be'Labin, you know, fulfills the mitzvah. It also fulfills the kinyan. That's part of the kinyan gomor part of it. And then v'hi v'chol tzaroseha. And so here, this affects even tzaros. That's the rabbi. Okay, so why, you know, how does he know mitzvah saseh? This is like a scandal. It's a scandal that the Nosei Kelim al Atar are not picking up on it. The later Achronim all picked up on it. They said it's against, not for sure it's against Tosus, who, you know, extended, you know, asay, as I say, or equated it completely with lava and asay. But the Rambam's doing the opposite. He's associating asay with lav. Why is he doing that? So the answer is, probably, that, and this is what certainly what the Karen Ora holds, la, but is that the Rambam felt, you know, that kinyan in Tfisas Kedushin is a big factor here. Right? And you know, it's in the end of the day, you know, even if Lemaisa ain't asay docha asay, you know, if we're interested in Kinyan Gamor, which, you know, depends on Tfisas Kiddushin, then, you know, it's not worse than a lav. It's the Kinyan Gamor part is better than the lav. Right? So, you know, even though, you know, technically there's no heter of ase dochalos ase, right? The idea of there's no heter because there's no heter, but not because there's a pgam in the what's a bigger pgam in the yibum, in the ishus of the yibum, a lav or an ase? Typically, forgetting about the details for the moment, clearly a lav, you know. And if ase is dochalos ase, even though ase is not docha ase, that's a heter agavra, probably the Rambam holds. Because, like, there's no, you know, it's a catch-22. There's no Sheval Taisa Adit. Don't do anything. Why should you insult one asay for another asay? Right? So, again, Bali Tosis, they have a totally opposite mentality. For them, you know, the issue is, do we have a heter asay dochalos asay or not? Okay. So let's keep going just for another minute. Let's get the Rambam in, and then we'll talk about Magid Mishnah and Kasa Mishnah.
Is the Lefikach on the beginning or on the Minhadin? Is it going back to like the first line?
So I think the Lefikach goes on the presentation, you know, about you know, the role of Tfisas Kiddushin in terms of Zika in Yibam. And that's what he's saying, you know, that, you know, this, the Kenyan's going to be Chal. Because, again, you might have even said, you know, that, you know, maybe the Kenyan B'dieved shouldn't be Chal even for the Iser Derabbanan. And certainly, I think the Rambam's really targeting the Asay. There's no heter in terms of the Asay, even though there's a heter Doraisa, or maybe in the Chiv Doraisa in terms of the Lav. You know, but for the Rambam, I think the Lefikach is, you know, there's Tfisas Kiddushin, and there's no, it's not like, you know, there's a Tfisas Kiddushin, you know, Nebuch, but, you know, there's some Pgam in the Yishus. There's no fundamental Pgam in the Yishus in an Asay. And there is, or at least not enough. And in a lav, you have Asay Dochalos Asay, so it's Dechuya, so there's no, you know, this is the right thing to do. That's why I think the Lefikach is the drum roll. The Kinyan is clear, is Koveya. And then when it comes to Asay and lav, it's also Matir the Tzaros. Keep going. Now comes Amana Min Anisuin. Biyavama Shehi Amana Min Anisuin. Bala Koin Gadol. Here he says, lo niftara sarasa. Right? So again, now I'm thinking he really, you know, means this. Right? Lo niftara sarasa. What about he, she, herself? What? Yeah. And again, maybe not Kona Kenya Gamor, but, right? She ain ase doche es los ase biase. Okay. The whole of a lokana minatora kinyan gamur. Right? Lahutra tsarasa lizar. Achataklots. Achataklots meaning that there's a debate how to read the Rambam. Achataklots the first one or achataklots the second one. Meaning, or the case of Bia, for sure it's achataklots the second one. Or it could be, if you don't do Bia to the first one, but you do Chalitza, that would work. That gets into a whole other question. Maybe what's the status of Chalitza Psula? Chalitza of a Psula, right? Which is the whole discussion, you know, what the Rambam says in Perek Zayin, yearly, and the discussion of the Kesed Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah and the Nosei Kelim as well. Okay, that part doesn't concern me so much. But if this is the right reading of the Rambam, so the Rambam is saying that in the case of Asei V'Lav, there's no Kinyan Gamur, but there is a Kinyan Legabe Dida. She, right, is Nisyav Emes, right? Does that require anything more? Is that with a get or without a get? Hard to know. Not so clear that you need a get. Maybe you do. It's hard to know. But either way, this Ptur, since this is a Yibum, not Shochiyuv, right, and it's not it's a yibum with a like a wobbly, you know, Zika, right, or whatever. It's not a kiyum or chiyuv yibum. It's just a maisa yibum. It's a chalos yibum, right? And therefore, because again, it's still tfisas kiddushin, but here it's tfisas kiddushin beiser, right? Even in terms of the ase and the doche and so on, and therefore. It doesn't poter the tzara, even though it's poter her, and that's the Kenyan gum. So then comes the next one. No, the next one you could skip, even though it's interesting, but okay. Halacha Yud Gimel, we'll just finish with this. Okay, meaning if there is a problem, you know, between not the Yavam and the Isha, but between the husband and the Isha. Mostly, we don't care about that, right? Because that's not an impediment to the relationship that's being scrutinized right now, which is that of the Yibum. Chutz. Okay, so you already have two problems. Chutz v'machzir grushasa mishanises umeis. Oh, so several things. Number one, it's very interesting to me that the Rambam did not integrate machzir grushasa. And sota, right? Not sapek and not vada. Now this is in halacha yud gimel, and as we know, sapek and vada sota is in halacha yud tes. And especially given you know, the Gemara and the reality, you know, that, you know, Issa Sota may be, you know, from the Parsha of Matzah Grishaso and so on. So the Rambam, and again, in Halacha Yates, the Rambam speaks about Tumah Ke'erva, right? And there's a Petur Tzara. And more than that, you know, the Petur Tzara, you know, is, you know, Dafka Din, you know, in Vadai, you know, the contrast between Vadai and Safek, as we discussed in the Rambam. So, you know, Tumas Sota Vadai for the Rambam is like a whole different category. That's, you know, really Ke'erva. When it comes to Machshu Grishaso, the Rambam is treating it, you know, not related to the Tumah, which is quite interesting, even though the language of Tumah, he does think applies in some level, even though he paskins like the Chachamim, to Machshu Grishaso. That you see from Perikid Beis Hilchos Gerushin, which we still have to go back to. It's also, of course, curious that the Machshu Grishaso that he talks about is Mishanises, right? And one of the questions we should discuss is Mishanises, and therefore meaning only Mishanises, as if to say, you know, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, but Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur is still a chalos, like it's a level in Machshu Grishaso. Or, like I suggested last year, is this the Rambam's way of saying, you know, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur lemaisa, but the principle of Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur is really true, even on an erison level, but it's, you know, accentuated through Nisuin. Meaning, sometimes you have, you know, dinim that depend on Nisuin, and sometimes you have dinim that depend on erison, and it's like a hard distinction. Other times, even if something is a din erison, you know, the real category is like tchilas Nisuin. And sometimes you have a din in the suin, but it isn't really a din in the suin. You know, it's a din in, like, you know, the solidification, you know, the eris. Anyway, I'll get back to the Rambam, but I think it's also relevant here. Meaning the Rambam, all I'm saying is, disentangled from Sota Vadai, which he thought, you know, and even Sota Safek, but certain Sota Vadai, you know, which he thought is really Tumah Ke'erva and so on. And he's much more tentative of about the problem of Machshu Grishaso. But at the same time, you know, without saying Tumah Ke'erva, which he could have, or on some level, you know, it's the only exception to the rule that we care, except for Sota Vadai, which has, you know, he's separated, you know, where we care about the relationship between the husband and the wife, vis-a-vis the Yibum, and he's emphasizing, for whatever reason, Mishanises. Okay. And then Umeis, Shehi Choletzes, Velo, so this is very mechudash in the Rambam. What he doesn't also say, the other diuk, he doesn't mention tzara, as if tzara is not even an issue. Meaning, once he has decided to maklokas in the Gemara, you think he has to say one way or another, right? So it sounds like the Bagid Mishnah, that I think is right, that the Rambam's assuming that there's no petur tzara, right? Not on Yibum and not on Chalitza. Okay, then comes the Bagid Mishnah, who does seem to read like we were reading before. I mean, I was a little bit hesitant last time, but I'm looking at it again. We'll just finish with this. Right? She chaletzes from the tzaraso, chaletzes from the yavemes. Pirish, vehi niftara b'chalitzasa, o bibiasa. So that's very remarkable. This is a chiddush of the Magen. This isn't necessarily true for the Rambam, but this is the way the Magen Mishnah reads the Rambam, but probably in light of what he said before, notwithstanding the quote of the Rashba, which is that bias masir grushaso would be poteres the masir grushaso. But mitzarasa niftara b'chalitzasa shelzu, the chalitza, even though it's chalitza's psul bia, would work for the tzara, avalo bibiasa, but the maisa bia of the maksa grushasa, right? That's you wanted the way you wanted to read it the other day, right? I think it's correct now. I was thrown off by the Rajba. I'll talk about the Rajba on Sunday when we finish. Avalo bibiasa, right? Im avar ubaaleha kedin amanam and anisuin lekoin gadol. So he also tips his hand that he thinks. Probably, this isn't 100%, what is he comparing to Amana Lekohen Gadol? The fact that even Avar uba'al kanav the miktas? Very possible. But like we said before. Or not necessarily. V'zeh shelo hisker rabbeinu iser b'tzarasa. The quotation of the Rashba is what threw me off, but I'll discuss it. Okay. So then, what emerges according to the Rambam is that machsir grushaso and possibly almana l'kohen gadol, you know, at least according to the Magid Mishnah's read, again, this the Rambam doesn't say about machsir grushaso. The Magid Mishnah's reading of machsir grushaso in the Rambam is that it is asur, but in avar uboal, it would be, you know, at least poter her, presumably would require a get, or kona b'miktas, I'm not sure exactly that is. But it would not, the bia would not be poter the tzara, and yet the chalitza of the matzu grushaso would be poter the tzara. That's where the Kesef Mishnah has two problems with Magid Mishnah. Number one is, like, where's the asev alav? How does he equate it to... That I don't think is a fair question, although it does trigger an interesting defense by the Taz, which I want to look at on Sunday very quickly. The other problem that really bothered the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah is, like, why isn't this against the Rambam in Perek Zayin? Why isn't this against the rule that Sarah, that Chalitzas Psul, you know, is not Matir that Sarah? So how you square that with the Rambam Perek Zayin is a problem. But just, you know, for broader purposes, this is an issue Rashi and Tosis in our sugya also deal with, is that the more you think that there is a Zika, and therefore that the Chalitza isn't compromised, isn't a compromised Zika, and the Rambam, if he holds that Matzah Grushaso, right, is B'di'ebed, according to the Magid Mishnah, works, you know, for the... you know, person herself, so then Lishitaso, you know, it isn't much of a Chalitza's psul. I mean, it is a psul in the sense that there's an Iser Liabem, right? And that Im Avar V'yibem, that you don't have the full effect of that with regard to the Tzara. But if you do have, if the Magid Mishnah is right, right, that it is Miktsas Kinyan, then that also makes more, you still have to explain Perek Zayin, that's a problem, but, you know, maybe this is a special din of Matzah Grushaso, you know, more than Aseh V'Lav. We'll talk about it. Okay, so then the Rambam emerges in a very, you know, subtle way. So part of this is the view of the Beis Shmuel, as we discussed, and the Taz in arguing against all of this, you know, has some ha'aros that push you, you know, to the, you know, to the counter argument, you know, to like whatever. I'll explain on Sunday, and then I also just look at the Keren Orah if you get a chance. On the other ones, I think he goes even further with this. Okay, so what emerges is that there is a very lively discussion about a possible in between status of, like, you know, a kinyan. You know, even in a case of Iser Bia Doraisa, in some cases, and the possibility that, you know, whether that would require a get, I think is one issue, and whether or not that would be Poter Min Atzara, Atzara, you know, is a second issue. In terms of being a hierarchy, so it re kind of writes the hierarchy of Psula Yibum, but I think at stake here is again this idea of Kedusha Sisha Shel Yibum, you know, which would explain, you know, how you can have this kind of an in-between status. Okay, so we'll stop here. Sorry it went further, longer than I wanted.